Thank you for tuning in to the Church on the Rock weekly podcast. We love staying connected to you no matter where you are and hope you enjoy this week's message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit us at churchontherock.net.
Welcome to the online audience. If you're watching today from YouTube or if you're listening from a podcast, we want to say we're glad that you are listening in or watching right now. We love you guys. I know people watch from all over the country. If you're away or you're working out of state, sometimes it's just nice. If you're busy, you're sick, you can just jump right onto YouTube and check us out online. So welcome our online audience. Everybody give it up for online audience. Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a scripture out of the Bible. We're going to read about 10 verses out of the Bible. We're going to take four applicable points, and then we are going to take a neighbor out to lunch or breakfast this morning, okay? That's going to be the things we're going to do. So turn to your neighbor. Don't say anything, but just pick which one you think it might be that's going to take you out to breakfast this morning. Because it's always nice. See, this whole series, Waymaker, is all about building faith. About building faith. It's a faith series. It's a faith series. So like, it's nice to just know like, hey, I'm really praying that God picks the person to my left or right to take me to lunch today. That's a good prayer. And if he answers it, let me know, okay? Let me know. Ezekiel 37, if you have inside of your worship guide, you got a handout, and the scripture is going to be in that handout. I would like for you to grab that, because if you have your own Bible, we're going to be reading Ezekiel 37 out of the Message, and sometimes it's a little bit hard to follow along. We're going to read it out of the Message paraphrase, and here's how it goes. Ezekiel 37, 1, God grabbed me. God's Spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of an open plain, strewn with bones. And he led me all around and among them in a lot of bones. And there were bones all over the plain, dry bones, bleached by the sun. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Master God, only you know that." And he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones. Dry bones, listen to the message of God." God the Master told the dry bones, "Watch this. I am bringing the breath of life to you. And you will come to life. And I'll attach sinews to you. I'll put meat on your bones and cover you with skin and breathe life into you. You'll come alive and you will realize that I am God." I prophesied just as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, there was the sound, a rustling, and the bones moved and came together, bone to bone. And I kept watching, and sinews formed, and the muscles on the bones, and then skin stretched over them, but they had no breath in them. And he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Tell the breath, God the Master says, come from the four winds, come breathe. Breathe on these slain bodies, breathe life." So I prophesied just as he commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they became alive and stood up on their feet, a huge army. I mean, again, we could just close right there if we wanted to, couldn't we? But let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is powerful and it has life in it. God, I thank you that as we open up your word today and begin to study, that you would bring life into this message, God, that you would speak to hearts, that your word divides between bone and marrow. And today, God, that they wouldn't hear a message from a man, that the Spirit of God would speak to each and every heart in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today I want to begin a message title that's called, "What Do You Do When You Don't Know What to Do?" I also could have titled it, "What Do You Do When You're in a Valley?" Or, "What Do You Do When You Feel Like You Are Stuck in a Dark Place?" Or maybe a better title for you might have been, "What Do You Do When You Feel Like Death Is All Around You?" Great. What do you do when life doesn't seem so bright? What do you do when all hope seems lost? But I just decided, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Because I've learned this. I've learned that God oftentimes, when he wants to do something through me, when God begins to do a work through me, we'll skip that point then. When God begins to do something through me, he has to do a work in me first. When God wants to begin to do something through me, he often begins to work in me. And I've also learned that oftentimes he will begin that work or finish that work in a valley, in a dark place. Sometimes it's internal. Sometimes he has to go inside of me and find that dark place in me and begin to work in that dark place. Sometimes it's external. Sometimes it's the things around me. But God is taking me somewhere in the journey. He's taking me somewhere in this journey. And I want to tell you, if you can stay focused on God, you can come out stronger in a valley. If you can stay focused on him, the valley can do things for you. Maybe the valley is to show you that he's bigger than the battle that you're facing. And maybe even more than that, this is point one. You want to grab your notes. We're going to fly through these. Point one is that God is already in your situation. What happens when you realize that God didn't drop you into the valley, into that dark place, and just abandon you? What happens when you realize that God didn't just set you down in this place that you don't want to be in? He didn't just leave you. He's not aloof. He's not unaware of the fact that you're there. What if we were to realize that God is already in my situation? That he's already in the area that I don't know what to do in? In fact, David kind of gives a similar verse in Psalms 23. You've probably heard this verse before. This is Psalms 23:4. Even when I walk through the darkest valley or the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close by my side. God is always there. The hand of the Lord is always near. Ezekiel said when he was in the valley, he said, I love the way the Message Bible puts it, that God grabbed me. The King James Version says that, said, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he put me in a valley full of skulls and bones, full of thousands, possibly millions of bones. And I want to tell you today to not let where you are make you think it's more important than who is with you. Let me say that again because I like that. Don't let where you are make you think it's more important than who is there with you. Because I'll take a valley with Jesus any day over a mountaintop without him. I'd rather go through the valley with Jesus because I know that with him I can do all things. In fact, my favorite way of quoting that scripture is to say, I can go through all things with Christ who strengthens me. Like, I can go through anything if Jesus is with me. Sometimes when you feel like the gates of hell are coming against you, I have news for you. That can be a good thing because my Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against me. Like, that God is greater than my situation, even though it's dark, and even though I can't see him sometimes, and even though I don't feel him sometimes, I can know that God is there. And I'm not making light of your giant either. I'm not making light of your situation, but what I am saying is sometimes I'm saying God can use your giant to take you to a new place with him. He can. And Ezekiel is in this place. It's full of dead man's bones. It's got to be a creepy place. I mean, if you can close your eyes and try to imagine a place with thousands of skulls and bones piled up everywhere. Like, when I think about it, when I think about this image, I think of Lion King. You guys remember that in Lion King? Simba goes to the elephant graveyard. Remember that? Come on now. Half of you guys are singing Lion King songs now in your head right now. Somebody's going, ah, hanya, mani, ba-da-ba-da. I don't speak Zulu, but I love that song. And some of you guys know that if you haven't seen the movie, you know, I don't know about you, but I know that for the rest of us, in the Lion King, Simba goes into this elephant graveyard and it's scary and there's these pits of steam. That's kind of what I'm imagining. And it's dark and everything's dead. And then there's these hyenas that come out. You guys remember come on, now everybody's looking at me like they've never seen Lion King. I mean, and little Simba's all scared, and he's wondering, where is Mufasa? And everything is not Hakuna Matata, okay? And he's saying, you know, I'm trying not to worry, okay? I'm trying to Hakuna Matata, which means don't worry for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy, okay? Hakuna
Matata.
Hakuna. Now, I thought we should close right there. I thought, let's just close. Hey, everybody, God says Hakuna Matata. Don't worry for the rest of your days. Don't start stressing. Don't be anxious anymore. Just Hakuna Matata. But I was a little worried. I thought Pastor Josh might not like that so much. So we're going to keep singing. We'll sing some other maybe songs later. Ezekiel is asked a question by God, and the question was, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel, can these bones live? And I love Ezekiel's answer because he says exactly what I probably would have said. He says, you know, Lord. How many of you guys know when you get a question from God and you don't know the answer, sometimes it's better just to say, I don't know. I don't know, Lord. You know, Lord. My kids ask me questions sometimes. I don't know the answer, and I say, God knows. God knows. I don't know, but God knows. And I love this because God isn't asking Ezekiel the question, can these bones live, because God doesn't know. He's asking him the question because Ezekiel doesn't know. He's asking him a question because he's trying to reveal something to Ezekiel. And I feel like if we can just dig a little bit into this, we can see that he's trying to say something to us through this too. Ezekiel, can these bones live?
Yeah.
I think that God can sometimes take a yes with a question mark at the end of it. Like, I personally am glad that Ezekiel didn't say, I know that you're El Shaddai, that you're our provider, that you are Jehovah Jireh. I'm glad that he didn't say that. Because if he said that, I would have been like, wow, like Ezekiel, whew. I'm glad he said, maybe. Because I feel like that is oftentimes me. God's speaking something in me. It's deep in me. And I feel like he's saying something. And I'm like, yeah. God's like this, ready? God says, can I bless your work? Can I bless you in your job? And you say, yes, God. Can I move in your family? And you say, yes, God. Can I bless you with more money? You say, yes, God. Can you forgive that person who wronged you? I don't know about that, God. Maybe, God. Okay, maybe. I feel like sometimes that God is okay. Let's look at it right here. Sometimes we have to get comfortable with, I don't know. And sometimes it's okay to say, I don't know, but God, you know. God, you know, because I definitely don't know. Sometimes there's power in that. Like, be at a place where you can say yes, even though you're not even sure that you have enough faith to say that yes. Because we all want faith. And we all want to do great things for God. But the problem is, we oftentimes want to do something for God, but we don't have the resources to do it. So we wait on God. And I think that the thing is, we are waiting on God to provide 5,000 fish and 5,000 loaves so that we can feed 5,000 people. When God is saying, I want you to take the 5 loaves and the 2 fish you got and let me have something to do with it. And with that, you can get enough from God. Amen?
Amen.
God, I'm lacking. I'm not enough. But here it is. God says that, I wrote this down because I don't want to mess this up. I love it. God is saying this. God, I am lacking and I am not enough. But when I begin to apply faith, he can bless my not enough and turn it into more than enough. But we are waiting for more than enough. And God says that's not how it works, because this is actually how it works right here. It is your not enough paired with a God that is enough that becomes more than enough. And God can do a lot with a little. And God can do a whole lot with a little. And God forbid that I ever feel like I am enough without him. God forbid that I ever walk around in life thinking that I can do it on my own. because that's called pride. And typically, if I think I can do it without God, my vision's too small. Like, I want to be shaking in my boots. I want to be a little bit, like, needy on God. Like, I want to be leaning on him, knowing that I'm lacking, knowing that I'm unqualified, knowing that without him, like, I can't do it, knowing that I need his grace every day and that his mercies, I need them every morning. Like, what happens when we move on a, what happens when we begin to step out on a Lord you know? Like, this kind of faith can get scary. Like, this kind of faith is like adult conversations in Christianity. This kind of faith is the meat of the gospel. Like, it's stepping out and doing things. I'm sorry, vegans, but that's the meat of the gospel. Like, it takes risk sometimes. It takes scary things. It takes stepping out. And when you begin to step out and you begin to say some things that God is telling you to say and do some things God is telling you to do, I got to tell you that it can be a little bit scary because your flesh is always going to be against your spirit. They're always at war. And I'm going to tell you that we've been taught too often that fear and faith are opposites. But I want to tell you that sometimes when God tells you to do something and God's stirring something in you, there's going to be a lot of fear that comes along with that. There's going to be a lot of stepping out in faith and not knowing for sure, but feeling like it was God. And sometimes you just got to say, I don't know for sure if that's you, God, but I'm going to take this Holy Spirit hunch that I got, and I'm going to begin to step out, and I'm going to begin to move, and God sometimes is going to show up in that. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to write this down. Step number two is to step into the unknown. Like, what happens when we step into the unknown? What happens when we take our faith up to another level? See, the prequel of faith, if you want to know, like, the levels of faith, there's a prequel to faith. There's a foundation to having faith, and the foundation is that God loves you unconditionally. Wow. That God loves me unconditionally. And the reason I got to know that is because I got to know that no matter what I do for him or what I don't do for him, that God loves me the same. Because it's not based on what I'm doing for him as much as it is who I am. He just loves me for who I am. And I get that foundation because now I can step out in the level one faith. This is what I call level one faith. It's not scriptural. I'm just kind of coming up with a way we can kind of see it. Is to believe what you do not see. And most of us Christians are pretty good at level one faith. Like, I can believe God. I can even believe him that he can do things. I believe that God can walk on water. I believe that God can save me. Level two faith, though, is a little different. Level two faith says to step out in what you now believe. Level two faith is saying, I know that Jesus can walk on water, and I think he's calling me to walk on water. I'm going to step out of the boat. That's level two faith. Sadly, a lot of Christians don't really live in level two faith. They don't really take that step of belief and begin to apply it and step out into the unknown. God, I believe that you're blessing me, but to be more than just blessed, you're blessing me to be a blessing to others. So like a step out for some people might be like this legacy offering coming up December 1st. Like, I know that we're, as a church, that we're going to give 100% of the offering away to charities and the nonprofits in our city, in our nation, and in our world, possibly. And I know we're going to do something awesome, but God, I don't know if I really can afford to give. I don't really know if I have the funds. I don't know if I really want to. Remember that first time you gave in an offering? I don't know if you remember that. Like, this is my money. I don't know if I really want to. I'm 38 years old, so I don't know if I want to write this check. I wrote checks. That was my point. It can be hard, and I begin to step out of my flesh because my flesh is saying no, and I begin to step into the spirit, and I begin to give in a level two faith. Level two faith is like Jonathan Wilson, awesome dream teamer that we have here. I remember him talking about he was asked to co-lead a life group. And I remember him telling me how he was full of worry and full of self-doubt and full of I'm not ready and full of reasons why he shouldn't. But he stepped out. And that life group is one of our most successful life groups. and he stepped out, and God's moving mightily through Jonathan, and he might not have all the answers, and he might have to say sometimes, I don't know. But I know that on the other side of I don't know is the grace for what God is calling me and you to do. Because the Bible doesn't say, me, the hope of glory. The Bible says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Like, it's not me. It's not me. It's Christ. And we begin to, what we're going to do is we're going to step out, and then we're going to do something. Once we step out, here's what we're going to do. Number three right here, write this down. We are going to begin to prophesy to our situation. And I know some of you are like, what is prophecy? And I'm going to tell you, it's okay if you don't know what it is, because I'm going to tell you what it is. What it isn't is just fortune telling. It isn't just wishful thinking. And it also, some of you guys are like, untie my bow tie, who stole my Honda? Yes, prophecy. Anybody out there? Yeah. Some of my more charismatic people, speak it, say it kind of thing. I'm talking about prophecy like this, and I wrote this definition down. Saying what you've already heard from God, or declaring God's word over your situation, or having divine words to say with purpose into your life or someone else's life. Prophecy, saying what you've already heard from God. Ezekiel 37:7, it says, I prophesied just as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, as I said what God had already said, there was a sound and a rustling. It's strange that God says to Ezekiel what to say. Nothing happens when God said it, but when Ezekiel's words lined up with God's words, things begin to happen. Right. Sometimes the something is happening and it's waiting on us to speak it into existence. Like it's God waiting on us to say what he's already said in our situation. Prophesy to your situation. Jesus did not say to say that the mountain doesn't exist. Jesus did not say to talk to the mountain. He said to talk to the mountain and tell it to be thou removed, right? He didn't say talk about the mountain. He didn't say pretend it didn't exist. He said talk to the mountain and say be thou removed. There comes a time in our life we have to speak the word of our Lord over our lives and over our destiny and over our families. There comes a time when we begin to speak and to the bones that we don't even see life coming into yet. Like the bones hadn't moved. They hadn't done anything yet. And Ezekiel begins to talk to the bones. He begins to talk to the bones. And sometimes we just have to say the word of the Lord, and it's a little weird at first. And we begin to speak the scriptures over our life. We begin to speak the scriptures over our family. We begin to speak the scriptures over our job, and nothing happens. And you begin to say it, and you begin to say it, and you begin to say it until you believe it. And as we begin to say it, it becomes prophecy. It becomes the word of God coming through us, because the word of the Lord is greater. I love this. The word of the Lord is greater than the word of the enemy. Like the word of the Lord is greater than the problem that I'm facing. That's what we're declaring when we speak like that. Like, I'm not saying that this time tomorrow, if you keep saying scripture, that things are going to change in your life. What I'm saying is that when we begin to speak God's word, things begin to happen. When we begin to move in faith, when we begin to prophesy, to our situation, things begin to happen. So here's point number four. Write this down. Point number four, I want you to invite the wind into your situation. Because the text in Ezekiel 37, let's look at it one more time. Ezekiel 37:9-10. He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, tell the breath, God the Master says, come from the four winds. Come breathe, breathe on these slain bodies, breathe life. I want to look at something real quick. This word breath and this word wind are the same word in the original Hebrew language. The word is ruach. The same word for breath is the word for wind right here. It's actually the same word for spirit sometimes. Like the spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. That's ruach. The breath of God was hovering. Prophesy to the wind, you could say. Prophesy to the Spirit to begin to move in your life. Prophesy. And God the Master says, come and breathe. From the four winds, come breath on these slain bodies. Breathe life. So I prophesied, and look what happened. Just as he commanded, the breath entered them, and they became alive. And they stood up on their feet, a huge army. Today, I want to tell you that there's something beautiful about this, because I can't even get into it yet because I don't have the time, but Ezekiel begins to breathe in and he breathes out as he's speaking what God had told him to speak, as his breath matches God's breath. Something began to happen. Like God's Spirit came into the situation. The wind of God began to move in that valley. And when it was full of death, it became full of life. And our mission as a church, that it's to speak life into a dying world in order to raise up an army of life givers. Like we begin to speak the word of the Lord. We begin to speak life into people, into lives, into situations. Paul in Romans 8, verse 11, I love the way he isn't even talking about the same story we're talking about, but listen how this applies. When God lives and breathes in you, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. And with his Spirit living in you, your body will be alive as Christ. Isn't that good? So this verse is, God is wanting to breathe life into me. He's wanting to breathe life into my situation. He's wanting to breathe life into your situation. I want to encourage you to invite the breath of God into your life. Invite the Spirit of God into your life. I want to remind you that the Trinity isn't Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Scripture. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Invite the Spirit of God into your situation. Because I want to tell you that one moment with the Spirit of God can beat out 20 years of going to church. One moment with the Spirit of God can beat out 20 years of Bible school. Like one touch from heaven can heal wounds that have been unhealable for years. One touch from the Spirit of God can be years of counseling. I also want to go, can we go back to that verse, Rob? I also want to look at this too, because some of us are like the dry bones. Like we're more like the dry bones. Like we are in a spot. We feel dead. We feel lifeless. We feel hopeless. If you don't have Jesus, I want to tell you that you're walking around like these dry bones. You may have skin on your body. You may have muscles. You may have flesh. There's just something missing inside of you. God lives and breathes into your life. You're delivered from the dead life. And with God's Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. Today, I want to invite you into that new life with Christ. I want to invite you to do that today, to call on the Lord. So the question is, how do you do it? How do I do it? It's simple. Just call on God. Call on the Lord. Believe that Jesus has been raised to his new resurrection. And today he is calling me and he's calling you to a resurrection. Father God, speak to hearts. God, there's someone in here that needs to know that you are working in them. You're working in their situation. All they see is death. all they see is hopelessness. But God, I just pray that you begin to show them that you've been right there with them. That you are in their situation. God, that you are moving in their life. And maybe they're feeling like those dry bones and they don't have any hope. They don't have any life in their bones. God, I just pray that they would begin to breathe the Spirit of God in them. Breathe hope again. And if you need Jesus, I just want to pray this prayer. Just pray this prayer out loud with me. Say, Jesus, I believe. I call on you to bring me new life. Bring me that resurrection. Bring me the Spirit of God. Make me new. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from our weekend service.